This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Bon Bon tonight. Bon Bon, how are you?
I'm doing great, Drew. It's Thanksgiving Eve.
Yes, it is. And we always like to do something unique for Thanksgiving. And before we talk about the guests we have, I'll just give you my reasoning why we like to do something different for Thanksgiving the night before. And since we're on Wednesday night, we're assured to always be on the eve of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in my career, I've learned that people who are generous tend to be wealthier and happier than people who are not philanthropically generous.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, generosity doesn't necessarily mean you have to give to charity.
Right.
You know, there are people who give without any consideration with tax consequences. There are people who have needs in family and they deal with that and
mm-hmm.
so forth. But I tend to find that when somebody is charitably generous, there also tends to be there's a cycle that seems to happen. You
mm-hmm.
would think that by holding on to everything you have,
right.
you would get richer. I mean, that's only logical. It says that if you don't give away $10,
right.
you should have $10 more than the guy that gives $10 away.
Yeah.
But yet the funny thing is that it's sort of like a cycle, you know, that the more it rains, the more it's likely to keep raining, you know, you know, because the groundwaters come down and then they recycle through and they go back up. Next thing you know, rains again.
Yeah.
And so there seems to be a cycle that
mm-hmm.
happens. And so we are strong proponents to our clients of always being charitably inclined.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us who we're talking to tonight.
Yeah, well, we've got the Baltimore Community Foundation representative with us tonight. It's Rosemary, and I didn't get your full pronunciation. Calderalo, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty
Another
good.
Italian.
Yeah, well, it sounds Italian.
You
think
so? Right.
Yeah.
So
now, was Ralph, is Ralph Italian also?
Yes.
All right. So
representation.
There you go.
That's right.
See?
We've got it covered.
There you go.
You know,
go ahead.
She's the director of gift planning at the Baltimore Community Foundation. So, Rosemary, we're excited to have you here today. And you've had a lot of different experiences, including locally and also up in New Jersey and New York in this development role and trying to help donors to really figure out how to direct giving, because sometimes people are confused about how to give and where to give.
Well, first of all, thank you to both of you gentlemen for having me on tonight. It's an honor to be with you, and I loved the intro that you had. I think, you know, Thanksgiving is certainly a wonderful time to really focus on a spirit of giving that for many people really doesn't need a season. But at Thanksgiving, when people come together, family come together, you know, it tends to be a time when we just reflect on what's really important in our lives. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
So, Rosemary, do you find that people who are generous tend to be wealthier, that there seems to be a better flow of cash to those types of people?
Well, you know, I think that's probably very subjective, depending on how you define wealth. Personally, what I heard you saying and what I believe I see is that the people who are generous and who give easily find wealth coming back to them in many ways, you know. And one of my favorite songs is by Malvina Reynolds and talks about love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. And I think money and the feeling of wealth, is that's certainly true. I certainly agree with you. When people know that they're helping, when they look to find meaning in their lives and they look to help others, I think they absolutely come away feeling wealthier. They have new opportunities come to them. And I just think it all, in general, it just makes the world a better place.
So tell everybody about the group that you represent, the Baltimore Community Foundation, and it's Baltimore City and Baltimore County, right?
Correct, correct. And I think, you know, well, the Baltimore Community Foundation is a wonderful example of just American generosity in action. You know, certainly as a country, generosity and charitable giving and voluntary services, you could say, is in our DNA as a country. And the Baltimore Community Foundation, if for the folks who are not familiar with it, is a public philanthropic foundation. And it was created by and for the people of the greater Baltimore region. And many donors came together. They came together to form the organization and to make the region they love a better place today and for future generations. So our mission is very simple, to inspire donors to achieve their charitable goals from generation to generation and improve the quality of life. And we do this through grant making, through civic leadership and strategic investments.
Not everything that you guys do, though, is strictly focused on Baltimore City and Baltimore County. People can actually work with you, even if they want to do some giving to other places in the country and the world.
Absolutely. That's so important in the way the world has changed. You know, people are much more mobile. Families grow up in one place, and kids go off and grow their own families in another state. So if somebody has a fund at the foundation, they can give anywhere. They can ask us to do research for them. You know, if their children are living in Colorado, for example, and they know their children support, help for the homeless, and they want to make a gift in their honor, perhaps, you know, they can call us. We can reach out to the Community Foundation Network and find out about the organizations that are doing good work out there and then help facilitate a gift. So it's really a wonderful network. There are hundreds of community foundations across the country. We're all independent 501c3s, but we work on a standardized national standard of excellence. So we all, you know, strive for the best practices, and we're in communication, learning from each other. So absolutely, people can give anywhere as long as the organization is a 501c3.
All right, you got to hold on with us, Rosemary, because we have to take our first traffic pause, and then we're going to be back and find out specifically what kinds of things your organization is doing. But right now, we got to take a pause. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
You're out. Thanks.
Become a major area of stress due to
seen a few
dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283, or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at drewtig.com. That's drewtig.com.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're here with Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto and Rosemary Calderado. How do you say that again?
I think that was pretty good. You rolled your R.
Yeah. Calderallo, thank you.
Calderallo. And we got the Italian hour going.
It is
what
the
are we
Italian
doing?
Hour.
That way, yeah.
Right. So,
it's the Italian Thanksgiving.
We're talking about, yeah, it's the eve before Thanksgiving. Yeah, well, you know, look, Italians, Cristoforo Colombo.
That's right.
You know, and
Amerigo Vespucci.
Yeah, and all those kind of good things. If it weren't for Italians, we wouldn't be here celebrating Thanksgiving.
That's right.
So anyway, we're talking about being charitably inclined during this time of year. Our firm has always encouraged our clients to be very charitably inclined, and what the benefits are. We believe there's tremendous benefits, and you know that it's, you know, you can have all the money in the world, but if you're not happy
right.
and you don't find joy and love in your life, you're going to be totally disappointed. And that's what we were talking about in the first part of the show, is that there's a difference. There's a dramatic difference of people you meet that are charitably inclined and people who do not want to give anything to anybody and just try to hoard it and keep it for themselves. And so we really try to teach and educate this charitable concept, and that's why we like to do this show on the eve of Thanksgiving. And so, Tommaso, you were going to ask Rosemary a question.
Yeah, Rosemary, you know, last time we got together with Ralph and we talked about, you know, things, you know, we were coming out of the unrest following Freddie Gray's death back in April of 15, and I know that you guys really dove head first into that to really deal with the issue and to raise some funds and to try and turn some positives out of that situation. Can you give us all an update on what happened from your side, what you guys did, and the money you raised, and how you've started to put that to work?
Sure. You know, it was a really terrible situation going on, the unrest, coming out of, you know, so many reasons. And the Baltimore Community Foundation just stepped up in response to the need. We had people calling and offering to give. And in general, we raised $752,000, almost $753,000, from gifts ranging in size from $5 to $100,000 from all over the country, over 600 different gifts. And the grant making that we were able to do from this incredible generosity was immediate impact, assisting communities recovering from the negative effects, direct service grants supporting basic human needs, youth development, and other programming within in the affected communities, and then what we call system reform grants, supporting community organizing, grassroots advocacy, and policy change initiatives. And the way we did this, before we gave out any money, we brought together all the stakeholders, talking through what they thought those affected would make the most difference. And then the grants were given out through a committee process. And then in May, you know, almost a little over a year after the unrest, our community impact folks brought together the group again, all the people that have been affected, leaders in the community, the grantees, and talked about how the process had gone and what we thought would, what people thought would make a difference going forward. So, you know, we're really excited by the process. The grants that were given out will be concluding in December, and then there'll be an assessment period. But the grants went out to a wide variety of organizations, such as the Baltimore Action Legal Team, Center for Urban Families, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, Associated Black Charities, Strong City Baltimore. You know, dozens of charities received great support from this. And so, you know, urgent circumstances, and we couldn't fall back on business as usual. There were no fees taken from the funds. 100% of the contributions were distributed with the grant. So we learned, you know, we learned a lot of things. That our strength as a foundation is in the generosity of our donors, that systemic problems need systemic remedies, and it's an ongoing process. So we'll continue to work with the charities that are doing programs and work with them for better solutions.
So, Rosemary, as we head into Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays coming up, or just the general holidays as a whole, what type of programs are you guys doing? What do you have specific things that people can get in part of and get on board with and so forth?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, because we're talking about Thanksgiving and this marvelous effort and the Fund for Rebuilding Baltimore that I just went over, I do want to take a moment just to say thanks to the community, to all our donors and supporters, all of the community people and staff that have worked with us through this past year, because really a community foundation is about partnerships. So a lot of people through the year made everything possible, and we're just so grateful for the generosity of the community. And so how people can work with us is in a variety of ways, but what we like to do first is to start individually through personalized service tailored to each individual's charitable and financial interest, is talking about what your goals are. What's important to your heart? What are the opportunities that you're looking for? What kind of impact do you want to make in the world? And then once we get a sense of people's goals, then we talk about, well, what kind of fund would best serve that? Is it a designated fund that might just go to one specific organization? Is it a field of interest fund where you're giving perhaps to the arts, but to a wide variety of the arts? Is it a legacy gift? Is this fund going to be part of your estate planning so that you can leave an impact in perpetuity? And so all of those things are important, as well as for many people talking about the tax benefits. What are the tax-friendly ways to give? What everybody's situation is different. Some people, when they do their estate planning, they look at things like a charitable gift annuity, a gift that can give them income during their lifetime, but leave a substantial gift to the charity they love as well. As people get to different stages in their life, if they're age 70 and a half or older, maybe giving a gift, it makes the most sense for them through an IRA charitable rollover. Perhaps they have other resources and don't need all of the required minimum distribution.
We got to stop a second because you're throwing a lot of terms around.
Okay.
That probably 90% or 99% of anybody out there listening probably has no idea what you just said. Now, Tom and I understand what you said. So let's go back to the charitable annuity. So let's say somebody has $50,000, they want some income on that money, and they want to leave the money ultimately to charity. So that's what you're talking about, where they give up the $50,000 to your charity.
Yes, it's an irrevocable gift.
It's an irrevocable gift. They get a monthly income for the rest of their life, and that can be structured in all kinds of different ways. When they pass away, whatever's left over in that account, it could be $50,000, it could be $100,000, it could be $20,000, goes to charity.
Right. At the Baltimore Community Foundation, what happens with the residual from the generous donor is that we create an endowed fund, and that fund then gives a gift in perpetuity to the charities or causes they've designated. And but probably the most common way that people give at BCF, although certainly people give single gifts, is by creating a fund, a donor advised fund, where people can give a gift to BCF, set up their fund, and then they recommend grants from throughout the year. So a lot of folks like that because you get a tax immediate tax deduction, one gift receipt, but you can give to a number of charities throughout the year from your fund.
Wow. So we got to take our next pause for
here we go, Mike's hot.
And we're going to come back. We're really going to go into more detail about how your foundation can help people who want to be charitably inclined and understand a lot more about charitable rollovers, charitable annuities, donor advised funds, and so forth. But right now, we got to go to traffic. We're going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. All right, that was a charitable song, wasn't it?
I'm not the musician.
The musician either. Anyway, we're here with Rosemary from the Baltimore Community Foundation. And Rosemary, what I want to do for the next few minutes is I just want to kind of go back and forth with each other because I really want to make sure our listeners catch what we're talking about. And I want to make sure they fully appreciate what your group is all about. And that is, it's not like your group is just you give money to you guys and then you take care of it and you do whatever you want to help Baltimore out and so forth. You're actually working with people. I mean, yeah, they can just give you money and say, go do whatever the heck you want to with it. But you're actually working with people, like you say, to, you know, tell us what you want to achieve. Tell us how much you want to give. Tell us what your goals are. And we're going to help you find that direction in life to be charitably minded, right?
Yep, absolutely. And our goal as an organization is to support philanthropy. So we look for ways to make it easy for people to give.
Let me ask this question. How much money does somebody need to come to you? I mean, if somebody just got $100, can they come to you? If somebody got $1,000, can they come to you? What is there a number that they have to, you know, to ask for your type of support?
Okay. So certainly we encourage people to give in any amounts because every dollar helps programs. But to open a fund at the foundation, we require a minimum single gift of $10,000. If somebody wanted to open a donor advised fund, that's what would help them. We can open it very quickly for them. Some people perhaps have sold a business know they want to be charitable, want to take their time about it, but, you know, they need to make a gift. So we can set up a fund for them, and then they get the tax deduction, and then they can take their time thinking about what causes mean the most.
So how about the charitable annuity? If somebody wants a stream of income, is it $10,000 again?
Yes, that's the minimum.
So $10,000 is a good number, and whether this is a $10,000, whether they want to do it during their lifetime or if they want to allocate it in their will or an IRA or something of that sort, that would work also, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, you know, some people, when they look at their legacy planning and at their wills and their estate planning, they may give a gift to an already established fund at the Baltimore Community Foundation, maybe the, you know, Invest in Baltimore Fund or the Civic Leadership Fund, and they want to just simply contribute to what already is existing. Other people may have a donor advised fund in their lifetime and include a testamentary gift to the fund to endow it at the time of their death, and then that fund would continue to give gifts to charities they love in perpetuity in their name.
So, you know, like, for example, we're independent advisors, and we work with Fidelity, we work with Schwab, we work with TD Ameritrade. All three of those brokerage firms have donor-advised funds, and we have clients that do donor-advised funds. But the beauty of what you guys do in a donor-advised fund is they have Rosemary. You know, because, I mean, hear what I'm saying, is
yeah.
that if I, when I set up a client at Schwab in a donor advised fund, that client better know what they want to do, what they want to accomplish. They can talk to me if they want to, but, you know, absolute focus solely on philanthropy is not my forte. My forte is comprehensive advice. With the Baltimore Community Foundation, somebody can set up a donor advice fund, and they can have Rosemary and your team to possibly talk to help them accomplish their goals and objectives.
Absolutely. And in fact, we work with professional advisors all over the region, as well as individual donors, advisors and their clients. We're often part of team meetings. Or advisors like you and your team, Drew, give me a call.
Well, you came into our office and did a presentation. It was great.
Yeah, we talked about multi-generational planning. But I often get calls from advisors who are saying, you know, I have a client who's interested in this area. What's out there? We have the community investment staff who know what's going on across the region. We can give you the menu of opportunities, so to speak, and you can work with your clients
so,
and try and hone down their interest, or we can step into the meeting with you, depending on the needs of the client.
So tell people how they find out, you know, about you and how to get in touch with you. So if somebody's out there thinking, yeah, you know, I'd like to have Rosemary helping me because I'm really not confident what I want to do. I just know I want to do something. So how do they get in touch with you?
Well, we're always happy to talk to people trying to figure out their options. Our direct phone number is 410-332-4171, or, of course, on the website, bcf.org.
bcf.org.
As in Baltimore Community Foundation.
bcf.org.
And, so, you know, Rosemary, and, you know, I was on your site, you know, a little bit more today, just, you know, thinking about our time together. You have a nice spot in there called the How To's of Giving, which goes through some of the different ways people can give, you know, just good old-fashioned cash. But you get into stock transfers with my old firm, Wilmington Trust, and Liz Hudgens there, but also, you know, mutual funds and, you know, wire transfers. But one of the things you list in here is the IRA charitable rollover. And this is one of our favorite ways to give, because we look at things comprehensively. It does a lot of good things on a tax return if you can make this one work for you. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, that, as you point out in your section here in the website, that it is now a permanent provision of the tax code. We're no longer sweating it out every December to know whether
we
can do them or not.
Right, absolutely. So people can use their IRAs in a number of ways, either the rollover. They have to be directed to tax-exempt organizations such as BCF, any 501c3, but it cannot go to a donor-advised fund, according to IRS regulations. However, other funds at BCF are eligible, including funds like Invest in Baltimore, Civic Leadership Fund, scholarships. So we, again, trying to make it easy for people, we can certainly accept IRA rollovers for a variety of funds. And then many people leave DCF and their designated fund as a beneficiary when they're doing their estate planning.
Now, did you two mention that you absolutely have to be 70 and a half years of age?
We didn't mention it, but it says it right there on her website. It
says
it right there. So it allows people age 70 and a half and older to make direct transfers, keyword, direct transfers, up to $100,000 per year to qualify charities. But it's really their minimum required distribution.
Right. So it's people that have already turned, and even if you turn 70 and a half in 2017, you have to wait until you're actually 70 and a half years of age in order to do a qualified charitable IRA rollover. And but any of our listeners out there that are 70 and a half and you want to be charitably inclined, you're absolutely right, Tom. A charitable rollover is an incredible tool on the tax return. And let me just explain that real quick, Rosemary. And that is, you know,
where he gets excited.
Well, I mean, taxes are cool.
Great. Yeah, taxes.
Yeah, so taxes are very important. But if you understand how a tax return works, everything on that first, that number at the bottom of the first page of your tax return is going to impact lots and lots of things on your tax return. For example, Social Security and how much of it's taxable is based upon that number at the bottom of your tax return. If you can do a Roth IRA or not is based on that number. Your IRMA, which is the extra premium that you have to pay for Medicare Part B and Medicare Part D, is affected by that number at the bottom of the first page of your tax return. Your Maryland state income taxes is affected by what is on the bottom of that first page of your tax return. Now, here's where it becomes cool. And that is that if you have a required minimum distribution and you don't really need it and you're paying taxes on it, it's showing up on that included in the bottom of that number on the first page of your tax return. So if you take a hunk of it and you give it off to charity, it's gone from that number at the bottom of your tax return. And the impact it can have is enormous on a tax return. Well, with that, you got to wait. I got too excited. We got to take another traffic pause, and we're going to come
beautiful.
Back, Rosemary.
You.
And you can. We're going to talk about some stories that you've had in your community foundation, heartwarming stories that you can end this show with to encourage people to be charitably inclined. But right now, I got to take traffic pause. I will be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Trees swaying in the summer breeze, showing up their silver leaves as we walk by. Soft kisses on a summer's day, laughing all our cares.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're here with Rosemary of the Baltimore Community Foundation. And so, Rosemary, in the last 6 or 7 minutes, I guess it's actually more like 8 minutes, why don't you tell us a story or two, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, I'd be delighted. And before I do that, I just want to mention a couple of other things from when we were talking about the different ways to make gifts. You know, you had mentioned giving stock, mutual funds. We're also, as a community foundation, able to accept a variety of complex gifts, such as a donation of real estate, a gift of life insurance, trust, someone who wants to transfer a business. So there's all different ways that people can look at their assets and make a gift easily. So I did want to mention that. But in terms of some of the folks that we've worked with, you know, every person we've worked with has a meaningful story. You know, again, looking at why people give, and just what's important to them is just really a privilege to be part of that process. And I want to mention one person in particular. I worked with her recently a few months ago. She was revising her will, and as she looked at just doing the traditional thing of splitting her assets into percentages based on the number of her children, so four adult children, but one of them had predeceased her, and every time she thought of just refiguring that into three three shares into thirds, she got really sad, and her advisor called me, and we talked through options, and I met with her. And so what she ended up doing, working through the Community Foundation, is leaving a testamentary gift with 25% of her assets and creating a fund in her daughter's honor, giving gifts in perpetuity to organizations that her daughter cared deeply about. And that really filled a tremendous emotional spot for her.
Yeah.
And really completed for her that process of making her final plan. So, you know, really was a privilege to work with her on that and support her in making that meaningful gift.
Do you have one where, you know, families set up a fund where they encourage their younger children and grandchildren to become charitable?
Absolutely, absolutely. A wonderful couple that I had the privilege of working with this year has children from high school age to young adulthood, and this family has been very generous throughout their whole marriage and with raising their children with an attitude of service, of an obligation to give back. And so they have always included their children in discussions of what's important to us as a family. You know, what are our values? What do we want to be about as a family? And so when they decided to take advantage of having a donor advised fund, which made it easier for them to track receipts. Again, remember, you can give one gift to BCF and then recommend a number of gifts, but you have far less bookkeeping. We do it for you. And so they set up a fund, and they continue to talk with their children about what gifts to give this season. So, you know, they've used it as an important family event, the process of setting up their fund, you know, formalizing more the way they're able to be generous.
Right. Train child in the way to go while they're young, and they'll never depart from the path, I believe is an old proverb.
Yep, absolutely. It just really makes a difference. And, you know, again, BCF makes it easy for people to give.
You know, you mentioned giving away stock, and that's something that we also strongly encourage. You know, we got a lot of clients who say, hey, you know, I want to make a charitable gift to my college or whatever the case, or to my church or to my synagogue. And there's a powerful, and Tom, why don't you talk about it? What's the benefit of somebody who gives away a stock?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, you can, and Rosemary, I mean, I'm sure you see that a lot.
Sure, absolutely. And that's actually one of the ways that we really give folks a lot of support in their charitable giving. I worked with someone recently who'd been very generous to an organization who didn't have the infrastructure to accept stock gifts. So instead of taking the capital gains tax and then giving, he set up a fund with us. He donates with stock every year, gets the tax deduction, and doesn't have to deal with the capital gains.
Exactly. And, you know, you still get don't pay the capital gains tax.
You get the tax deduction.
You still get the tax deduction, assuming that you itemize. And, you know, you would get that benefit. And it's helpful. You know, it's less and less going to be the case in the future due to some of the changes in the industry, in our industry, the financial industry. But there's still some people out there that have stocks. They don't even know what they paid for. They don't even know the cost basis. It's a great way. If you're already going to give, if you have a charitably inclined way to give, to give stock. You can give mutual funds as well, but stocks are most common, and it's a great way to do that. And so, you know, it's a good time. And you said you've got the infrastructure already set up, as we saw on your website there. You know, it's also interesting. I looked at quite a few things in your annual report, which, you know, I saw a picture of one of my friends, Dave Wyand, over at Rosenberg Martin, and, and they set up a fund. And I saw the story about Wes Moore, and I thought it was funny because it was a required reading for my daughter in her freshman year at college. Was the other Wes Moore book, but you know, you've touched on a lot of different folks here in your report, and how they're giving, and I think what Drew's point, you know, as well is, you know, setting up a private foundation or those kinds of things can be costly, it can be administratively a burden, but you provide a way for families and organizations to be able to give on an ongoing basis and help to further encourage that spirit of giving and the ways to give.
Absolutely, and we are the infrastructure. You don't have to set up a private foundation in order to reap the same benefits through a fund. And when people give to endowed funds, create legacy gifts, they're helping the Baltimore region have a civic endowment that will address community needs now and in the future. And that's a really powerful thing.
So, Rosemary, let's again, we're only got about a minute and a half left, so let's tell everybody, how do they get in touch with the Baltimore Community Foundation?
Okay, as was wonderfully mentioned on the show tonight, we've got a great website, I think, with lots of resources on it, and that's a part of what we do with donors and professional advisors is offer resources and ways to think through how you want to give and what's meaningful to you. And our website is www.bcf.org, bcf.org for Baltimore Community Foundation, or please feel free to give us a call at 410-332-4171. And again, I want to thank everyone who's listening who's been involved with us, either by giving generously or generously of time, because all of you have made through partnerships all of the opportunities that Baltimore Community Foundation has been able to give. And, of course, the Financial Consulate has just been a tremendous partner. You and your advisors have just been wonderful to work with.
Well, you know, we didn't even get into that you have volunteer services that people can do. You don't have to give money. You can give time because there are plenty of projects you guys work on.
Absolutely, and we're always happy to connect people with organizations, again, that connect most strongly to their hearts.
And so once again, bcf.org, that's, Baltimore Community Foundation, but the easy way to do it is bcf.org. Rosemary, I hope you're going to have a great Thanksgiving, lots of turkey and pie and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, thanks. I hope the two of you have a wonderful Thanksgiving also, and all of the listeners. It's just been an absolute privilege to be with you tonight.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time and all the work that Baltimore Community Foundation does, and so we just thank you and all that you've done for the city and for the county of Baltimore. And this is the end of Money and Riches and Wealth tonight. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.